Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Hour two on a Friday. The Herd, live, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. So I said last year was the most challenging year I'd ever picked football games for two reasons. Number one, there was no preseason. I had no idea what you were getting from free agents and rookies. You didn't get to watch any of it. By the way, two people who I know are professional bettors both had their worst years last year. The second thing was, and we're going to see some of this year, is COVID.
Right.
Every Sunday morning we wake up and be like, oh, yeah, those four guys aren't playing. They broke COVID rules. It's challenging. Now, the preseason, I feel better about week one today than I did week one a year ago. I had no idea what I was getting from Tom Brady. No idea. I mean, last year was brutal. Last year is, you know, Belichick, according to people I've talked to, like, thought of last year as ridiculous, kind of a throwaway year, rebuild year. If you bet football games last year, it's a throwaway year. It was a ridiculous year where nobody had an information. Sometimes you were just better off just taking favorites all weekend, which is never what gamblers do. So I was mostly lousy last year, right at 500, very disappointing, slept on the couch, a terrible year.
But no more. It's a new year.
It's a new year. I got a preseason. I can see what I'm getting here. So here we go. Here's our Blazing Five.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Five. Steelers at Bills.
I'm going to take Steelers plus 6.5 at Buffalo. Folks, don't go to the end of last year. Go to the beginning when the Steelers were healthy. They're healthy. They led the NFL in quarterback hits. They led the NFL in most sacks. They allowed the fewest sacks. Okay, and the Bills' offensive line is just okay. The Bills' defense, third worst in the red zone. It is a work in progress. I love Sean McDermott, but they're trying to garner a pass rush, and they haven't the last 2 years. The Steelers' offensive line is in transition, but the Bills have not shown an ability so far to take advantage of that because the D-line is their weakness. Also, proud organizations that get humiliated at the end of the year, like Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin, the Rooney family, Big Ben, come back focused with a vengeance. I think this is a potential upset. I'm going to have the Bills winning on a field goal late, but Pittsburgh outplays them for a lot of it. Take the Steelers plus 6.5 points.
Jets at Panthers.
I've shifted on this because new information. I initially liked the Jets and the points. I'm going to take Carolina minus 4.5, and here's why. The Jets' strength is their defensive front. Multiple injuries in the last 3 weeks. Carl Lawson, their best edge rusher, out for the year. Vinnie Curry, defensive lineman, out. Jared Davis, linebacker, out for 6 weeks. I thought that was how they were going to seize control. And this Jets offense, let's be honest. Zach Wilson, NFL debut, first-time play caller, he's inheriting a mess. Christian McCaffrey, meanwhile, healthy, and only three teams in the NFL. Carolina was one of them, had three receivers over 1,000 yards. Carolina's O-line isn't great. I don't think the Jets' banged-up team can expose it. Carolina wins by a touchdown, 27-20.
49ers at Lions.
Upset alert. I'll take the Lions plus 7.5. First of all, can we stop saying Jared Goff is terrible? In the history of number one picks, he has the second highest passer rating ever behind Peyton Manning. He also has DeAndre Swift. They have a star running back. Right now, the Rams don't. Folks, he completed 67% of his throws last year in the toughest division in football. And all this kid has heard for the last 6 months is how terrible he is. He's terrible. He's awful. I think Jared Goff, the Lions' strength, many believe, is their D-line and their O-line. And they've got a star running back. He's got some stuff to work with. Also, bad teams don't know they're bad in the first week. What is Dan Campbell going to do? I mean, the Lions coaches kind of know what San Francisco is going to bring to the table. The Niners coaches have no idea what Detroit's going to offer offensively and defensively. By the way, Jimmy Garoppolo lost confidence more than once in the preseason. Jimmy Garoppolo is not the same Jimmy Garoppolo, Super Bowl Garoppolo. His confidence to me is shaky. I think this is upset alert. I'm going to take the 7.5. Niners win last second of the game, but Detroit will give them everything they can handle.
Chargers at Washington.
It's tough for me as an LA guy, but I'm going to take the Washington football team minus half a point. First of all, Justin Herbert, first time he's ever faced a real crowd. Justin Herbert, best defensive front he's ever faced. Washington is completely stacked up front. Chase Young, as a rookie, had 7.5 sacks and 10 tackles for losses. He's only getting better. 4 first-round picks. A rebuilt Chargers O-line. It could be good. Do I think it's going to be in week one? Another thing, Western teams traveling east, early game, never easy, even in week one. Also, they got a new coach, Brandon Staley. First-year NFL coaches in week one, a combined 1-12-1 over the last 3 years. Only Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur won. Tough opener for the Chargers. Tough spot. They may be better in 6 weeks, not this week. Washington wins 27-21.
Browns at Chiefs.
All right, I'll take Kansas City minus 5.5. It was 6.5, so I kind of feel like I got a break with this line. Listen, Kansas City's got the best September coach in the NFL. Some think the best coach after Belichick. The Chiefs have won 6 straight openers. Patrick Mahomes in September, 32 TDs, no picks. The Browns are interesting. They were kind of two teams. When they finally kind of figured out Stefanski's culture, they were pretty good at the end of the year, but they had minus 11. That was the worst point differential. They had a minus point differential for anybody with a winning record last year. They got whacked a few times. This is not a good spot for Cleveland. 7 new defensive starters. I think Cleveland by Thanksgiving is going to have an argument with Kansas City as a top team in the AFC. Do I think starting an Arrowhead against a proud organization that was humiliated in the Super Bowl? That was a ugly loss for Andy Reid, the Hunt family. Chiefs do have a new O-line. We'll see how that goes. But I'm going to go 34-26, competitive game, but you'll feel like Kansas City takes an early lead. Kansas City's in control. Kansas City puts it away early fourth quarter. So that is my blazing 5. I will say, major upset alert with the Lions plus 7.5. I like the dog Steelers, the favorite Panthers, the dog Lions, kind of the pick'em Washington football team, and the favorite Chiefs. There you go. Blazing 5 pick. Eric Mangini, 3 rings with Belichick and the Patriots. Browns, Jets, Fox Sports joins us live now. So, all right, you saw my goofy picks. I'll say this. Nobody in the world watching this thinks Detroit can win. But it's weird, Eric. These week one games, I don't know. It's funny. Jared Goff has heard for 6 months he's the worst quarterback on the planet. I actually think Detroit has a puncher's chance in week one. Your thoughts?
I love your Blazing 5, and I agree with almost everything you say. And you're right. With the first game of the season, it's so hard, and it's so much harder when there's a new head coach, a new offensive and defensive coordinator. You have no idea what you're going to get, because everybody's been working on things in the offseason but not showing it in the preseason. And when you have new guys, you just have no idea, especially a first-time head coach. There's no frame of reference. The one spot I disagree with you on is the Cleveland game. I think Cleveland's got a real chance to upset Kansas City. And everything else, I was right with you, but I'm going to give Cleveland the edge.
All right, fair enough. So I watched the Cowboys last night. I could make 2 arguments. That there was no way they were going to run against Tampa's front anyway, so go ahead and pass 60 times. Or I could make this argument, boy, there's only one way that team can win. It's passing the football. I mean, they're not going to win, to me, with defense, special teams. I mean, what did you make of this 60 throws by Dak? Too much, or you're okay with it?
I hated it. I hate it. I don't think it's a good approach. And I went back and looked at his attempts over the course of his career. He's thrown the ball 49 times or more, and I think it's seven times. Yeah, it's seven times, and he's 1-6 the times that he's thrown the ball that many times. I don't think it's sustainable. He did a great job last night, but with running the football consistently, even if it's not as effective as you want it to be, it slows down the pass rush. It makes your play action more meaningful, and it takes some pressure off the quarterback. And this is an exciting brand of football, and I remember last year with let Russ cook and all those things we want to say, it's just it's not sustainable, and you're going to put a guy in that position coming off two surgeries and all the pressure he has of a new contract playing in the opening game, go on and on and on. Look, he handled it exceptionally well. But I do not think this is a sustainable formula for Dallas.
Now, by the way, it's not like Brady didn't throw 50 times as well. It is interesting. You know, sometimes in sports, you sit there as a fan and you're like, Gronk's not the fastest guy. Gronk is old. And I swear to God, I'm watching that Gronk-Brady thing at the end and I'm like, I've seen this 70 times. I mean, as long as you give Tommy a minute 25, what is it about Gronk and Brady that beyond, I mean, first of all, Gronk has some of the best hands I've ever seen on any player at any position in the league. But what do you make of that connection? They're like on the same wavelength in the red zone. Your thoughts?
Well, when you play with someone as long as they've played together, you can reference things that have happened in the past, and it just makes sense. And you can make adjustments with guys like that on the sidelines. That's different than when you're playing with new guys. And I think Gronk has the advantage of knowing that he was going to play football this year, of actually training like he would to get ready for a season. And he looks to me a lot better at the start of this season than he did at the start of last season, because his approach, I'm sure, is radically different. And you saw the play on the dog blitz where the linebacker came, you know, after the tight end initially blocked, and then Tom looks off the safety and gets it to Gronk. And it's those types of things that you have a significant edge when you've worked with a guy as long as they've worked together.
What did you make of the Chris Godwin no call? I'm always a big believer in let athletes compete on the boundaries. I mean, Belichick's corners are slapping and pulling and grabbing. And I mean, by the way, it's a way to manipulate the refs. They don't call a lot of it. They're very physical. I'm kind of on pass interference. Unless it's egregious, let it go. That's my take. What did you make of the no call?
Yeah, as a defensive coordinator and defensive back coach, you're always frustrated when you don't get those calls. But Bill used to say, you know, they're not paying billions and billions of dollars to watch games that are 6-0. You know, they want the offense to be successful, and they're going to let those calls go. And I'm okay with this call because it's an unbelievable catch. It's an unbelievable throw. And was it so egregious that you had to call it? No, it was one of those things where it could have gone either way, and I actually think they made the right decision by letting it play out.
I will say this. I want to be positive for Dallas. A lot of times, teams will tell me, I can't see practice or film, but they'll tell me what they saw in it by their game plan. And by giving Micah Parsons that many snaps, it told me he's been great at practice. He's been responsible, because Vander Esch and Jalen Smith didn't play. It tells me that they feel they have a star in Micah Parsons. That's what I take from last night's performance.
Yeah, he had a nice game for the first game of his rookie career. What was it, seven tackles? He had a pass defense. He hit the quarterback one time. He's going to continue to get better. He's strong. He's really fast. And Dan Quinn is an excellent coordinator, especially for a young player like Micah, because he's going to keep the defense relatively simple and allow him to understand what's happening and unfolding in front of him, not have to think a lot, and really play to his strengths, which is reacting and giving him that ability to play fast. So that's going to help him as you know, as he grows in the league. But for an opening day performance by a rookie linebacker, and I thought Dallas's defense overall was much improved from what we saw last season.
Yeah, it looked faster and rangier. I thought they looked very athletic.
And four turnovers? Four turnovers is an unbelievable effort by a defense. And you're right, they looked faster, they looked rangier, they looked more physical, and they're gonna get better as the season goes on. And they're gonna create some problems that they couldn't create last year where last year is just how bad were they going to be in any given day, game.
Okay, so I think this is something, and nobody, you know, Joey and I think it's something. Tua is the only quarterback starting this year who took significant snaps last year, not named captain by his teammates. It's not everything, but it feels like something, doesn't it?
It's something. As soon as I saw that, I thought this is completely outside the norm. The fact, you know, you have the players vote on who the captain's going to be, but if it's close, you may nudge it in a certain direction, and you're definitely going to nudge it in the direction of the quarterback. And for the players not to vote him as the captain, as the leader, that says a lot. And that's a big concern. And as much as they say, hey, he's a great leader, I've read all the quotes. Okay, well, if he was such a great leader, why didn't you make him the captain like almost every other team in the league does? I agree with both you and Joy. This is something, and it's a concern.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we were talking about, Joy and I talked about this yesterday. Teddy Bridgewater got named captain 10 days ago, split snaps, is seen as a bridge quarterback, and the guy's named him captain. That's that to me is significant. A bridge quarterback gets the captainship.
Yeah, it is, and leadership is something that you can't fake in the locker room, that you can't sell it to the players that this guy should be the leader. Either he is or he isn't, and when they speak with a vote and don't make him the leader, and you desperately need that guy to be a leader. It's an issue.
Eric, great seeing you. Have a great Friday. Can't wait for the rest of the schedule. Thanks, man.
All right, we'll see you soon.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
And welcome back to NFL Kickoff Week, sponsored by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Every game, match, race, and competition, it is always on.
By the way, Simply Safe, big news. They have a wireless outdoor security camera now, 20% off the new system, simplysafecolin.com, simplysafecolin.com. I did notice something last night. And, you know, I always love these big TV games because there's more cameras. So the networks, you know, when you go to a Super Bowl or a Sunday Night Football game or the Fox Game of the Week, when we have Buck Aikman, that kind of stuff, you have more cameras. These are bigger events. So you get, you know, nothing against the 1 o'clock games, but when you get the Sunday night game, the Thursday night game, the Monday night game, the playoff games, more cameras, more people in the truck, you get a lot of cutaways and things. There's a lot of body language last night. So we know that Bruce Arians and Brady last year, you know, they have different styles, right? No biscuit, risk it. And then there's kind of efficient, detailed Tom. And I thought last night, and I noticed this last year at the end of the year with Tampa. This is now Tom's offense. Arians was on mute most of the night. He just stand and watched. That was not the case last year. Tom, multiple times, shaking off the calls of Byron Leftwich or Arians, I think Leftwich. But if you watched Tampa last night, and I saw this at the end of the year last year, Arians just watched. Tom doing a lot of the talking. High percentage throws early, lots of Gronk late, just a handful of deep routes, very manipulative in the red zone, but he shook off the sidelines more than once, was very verbal. This was his offense. It really felt like a Tom offense. You know, you're going to throw deep. In New England, he didn't throw deep because they had nobody that could get open, but Tom has always loved to throw the ball down the field. Tom's not one of these quarterbacks. I've said this about Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron throws a second interception, he checks out. Brady could throw five. He doesn't care. He's thrown pick sixes in Super Bowls. Tom wants to throw the ball down the field, but he likes to start games with high percentage stuff, end games with people he trusts. He obviously trusts Godwin's routes and Gronk's hands. And I really felt last night, it felt like the end of last year. This is clearly Tom's offense, and Arians is just sort of supervising it. And I think that's the best fit for those two. Because they see the world differently, that's fine. But I think they've found their connection. They've meshed it really well. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com released his rankings of the starting quarterbacks entering the season.
Oh.
The top 15 is very interesting.
Oh, let me say, it's very exciting.
We love rankings.
Oh, I do.
Okay, so Patrick Mahomes, 1. Aaron Rodgers, 2. Josh Allen, 3. Tom Brady and Lamar Jackson are the top 5.
Like, I got to tell you something. I don't have a lot of problems with this. Wow, Mahomes, Rodgers, Allen, Brady, Lamar. I'd put Russell ahead of Lamar. Herbert, Dak, Tannehill. I think Tannehill's a tad high for me. I'd probably move Tannehill back a few. I'd probably go Stafford, Kyler, Carr. I like that he has Derek Carr 11. By the way, Baker Mayfield's at 14. This is not a shot at him, but that is exactly where NFL executives, with Mike Sando's outstanding multiple-tier quarterback ranking, when he talks to all GMs, that's what I – now, Baker has a great O-line and a great run game, so he's going to win 12 games this year. Just know that's how people view him.
What I think is interesting is actually the back part. So, Ben, you notice Ben Roethlisberger is not in the top 15.
I don't think he is right now. I don't think he is.
He has Zach Wilson at 20, Mac Jones at 22. Tua, he has ranked over Joe Burrow.
What?
Yes.
No, that's okay. List doesn't matter now. It's just crazy.
So Sam Darnold at 32.
Well, he was bad last year, so let's give him 6 starts with Carolina.
Andy Dalton at 30.
Come on. You can't have Tua over Joe Burrow.
Tua's over Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, Bridgewater, Jalen Hurts, Dalton, Tyrod Taylor, and Sam Darnold.
All right. Well, that's not going to work for me.
I'm with you on the Jared Goff thing. Now, I've been on this for a while.
He has been so...
I think people are outrageous of their evaluation of Jared Goff.
Okay, so the Lions won 5 with Stafford. Stafford leaves. Their over-under is 5 with Goff. So the betting market does not see Stafford here, Goff way down there. They don't. They see Stafford as better, but not... I mean, and I do think Matt's got a livelier deep arm, and he's played more games. But this disrespect for Goff...
It feels a little, listen, I understand. I know what Detroit is. Detroit probably doesn't get enough credit for how historically bad they've been. But, man, like.
It's personal.
It feels like that. It's like Jared Goff is not. But I feel like Jared Goff's always gotten this. Like, even when he came in the league, like, obviously he wasn't great, but it was like, worst pick ever when he got. But he got paid. Oh, egregious. How can you pay him this? You'll never be able to move him. Now they moved him, and it's like Matthew Stafford winning the Super Bowl. And listen, the Rams are a great team, and I like Sean McVay a lot.
But the betting markets do not see them as a Super Bowl winning team.
All I'm saying is Matthew Stafford didn't not have no one.
No. Stafford, in fairness, this is where I can criticize Goff. He had a fumble issue.
No, he did. And it's not that Jared Goff is some... I'm not, like, putting Jared Goff in some
otherworldly tier. He had a turnover issue.
I feel like the evaluation of Jared Goff is a bit harsh and overblown when you look at what Jared Goff actually did.
Yeah.
But Matthew Stafford was in Detroit. He wasn't like he was playing with some busters the whole time he was there.
No, yes. Like, he had reasonable coaching. Maybe not great, but it wasn't awful.
Thrown to a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I mean...
No,
he was there for quite some time without.
It's my upset of the weekend. Detroit's going to give the Niners everything they can handle. And I know I'm on an island on this, but there's an outrageous upset every weekend in the NFL. Every opening week in the NFL. Go back 10 years. Keep your eyes on. Now, not a big Dan Campbell guy, but he can sell Dan. Dan sells Dan very well.
Yeah.
I have literally gone all these Michigan papers, Detroit papers. Everybody that covers them, like, this team, they're buying into Dan. At least now. They're buying into his physical, you know, their D-line and O-lines in Detroit are not terrible. And DeAndre Swift's a star running back. So be careful.
And I don't think that Jared Goff is that bad.
No, he's not. He's not bad.
He's not. He's not a bad quarterback.
Bad quarterback.
So the Cowboys fell short in their mission to beat the Super Bowl champs last night. It was a great season opener, though.
Well, I want to know the ratings. Ryan, over there, after you get the hockey scores all figured out, get us the television ratings for this monster. I bet you it's gigantic.
I imagine it
is. Let's guess. I'm going to guess 13.6. All right. That is an absurd prediction by me.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 9, which is still a big number.
Okay, okay. Ryan, I know you got that Calgary Flames score you're searching for. Why don't you ditch that for a while and get us a TV rating?
Well, while Ryan's looking that up, Dallas' kicker had a rough night.
Yeah.
15.9?
Oh, my God. That, like, doubles the NBA final.
Go woke, go broke.
A 15-point. Wow. Folks, I know it's a TV rating and nobody cares about this.
We're nerding out right now.
That is a monster number. That is double the NBA finals. That is a huge number. You know what that is? That's what the national championship in college football, very popular, gets every year, a 16.
Yeah, that's an incredible number for a
Oh, my Lord. Well, Brady, Dak, Cowboys.
Yeah, no, it was billed correctly.
Woo!
And Dallas' kicker had a rough night. Well,
it was bad.
A lot of people watched, and he took the blame for the team's loss.
If I do my job, we win that game. So I feel bad for the guys in there that played their ass off, and I didn't hold up my end of the deal. And so with the team that's that good, returning every player from the Super Bowl victory, we're right there, and I just have to do my job. If I'm out there, I should make the kicks, and so there's no excuses.
Well, the 60-yarder, I'm not going to crush you on, but he had a 20-something, and he just...
It was 31.
Yeah. It was bad.
Well, he didn't play at all in the preseason. He was recovering from a back injury.
Yeah, I get that.
But yeah, that's
a bad one. That's a hook. That's, yeah.
Yeah, that was
off the tee, that would not be acceptable.
Yeah, the 60-yard one, I...
That happens. I'm not asking... It came off surgery. I'm not going to ask my kicker to kick it. I wouldn't have kicked. I would have punted the ball.
Though. I would not have kicked it either. I thought it was risky. That can go badly really quickly and look even worse. So we have a rule. We have lots of rules on this show. We don't always follow them, but one rule that I very strictly enforce is not comparing anyone to Tom Brady.
Let's not compare anybody to Brady.
But... Mac Jones is replacing Tom Brady in New England.
Well, he's replacing him.
And he's replacing him, yes. And he understands he has giant footsteps to step in.
I think I'd be doing the wrong thing if I wasn't. but I think nerves are a good thing, but you can always be nervous, but you can't play nervous. So I've always said that. Just play. It's my first time out there, but at the same time, we've all been playing for a long time, and it's, you know, all of us together, so it's really not just a one-man show at all. It takes all 11 people, and I just gotta really just focus and just do my job in each play and just take it play by play.
I can't wait. That's a really interesting battle. Two Alabama quarterbacks. It's really good. I kept that, you know, everybody, Blazing Five, that was one of those. I'm just gonna watch it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I could see Mac, because the corners for Miami are exceptional. Great corners.
I would anticipate...
Both quarterbacks struggling.
I would anticipate some turnovers from Mac in this game.
And
sure.
Under.
Yes.
If this ends up 2017, you're like...
I wouldn't be surprised.
And Will Fuller's out. So he's a playmaker. So I think this is ugly, low scoring. Two of the best defensive coaches in the world.
It's just so interesting.
It's so interesting.
The Patriots are favored by 3.
I wouldn't touch it.
Fox Bet.
Not interested at all.
sit back and enjoy this one.
I don't know what I'm getting.
No, I don't. I don't. I don't know what it's been a really interesting offseason for both of these teams, especially at that position. It's two Alabama quarterbacks who know each other going up against each other, and two teams that obviously, and coaches that know each other very well also. So there's so many great storylines this weekend, but this is one of them.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
You know,
the Herd Line.
The one
news.
Game I did not bet. So what happens, I always bring a sixth pick to the Blazing Five, and then I drop it right before. I'm going to bet this game, but it's not in my Blazing Five. I'm going to take Arizona plus 2.5 at the Titans, because Tennessee has new coordinators and 9 new starters, which is tied for the most in the NFL.
I don't hate that.
It didn't make the cut. If the line is 3... I would have made it a Blazing Five, but the hook there. But right now, Cardinals plus 2.5. I think they went outright at Tennessee. But I felt less strongly about that than I did about every other one of my picks. I am so excited to be rolling with Detroit. I got their football coach eating kneecaps, and I'm all in on it. What's happened to me? I'm deteriorating right in front of your eyes.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If they wanted to make a change, even though I just won MVP and didn't see my future with the team past 2021, then why wait? You know? I mean, they drafted my replacement, so let them play if that's what you want.
Very interesting.
You don't want to miss Fox NFL Sunday's exclusive interview with the most talked about quarterback all offseason, Aaron Rodgers. He sits down with Aaron Andrews for an unforgettable conversation Sunday at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on Fox.
Aaron's getting the inside. You know, Aaron knows Brady and Rodgers, so she always gets good answers.
It's a very juicy answer.
Aaron's being very expressive these days.
Listen, Aaron, you're going to get Aaron all the time.
Well, there's two quarterbacks in this league who are going to tell you what they think, and it's not always to their benefit, Cam and Aaron Rodgers. They're expressive. They just have big opinions, and they say stuff that makes people uncomfortable. So Aaron's one of those guys. Yep. He's expressive. Kevin Durant's got a little bit of this. This is who I am. He's like, I like yelling at fans on Twitter. That's who I am. I like competing. So Aaron's very expressive guy. So Cam Newton, and there's been a lot of talk about why Cam was let go. There was a story out this week that Mac was teaching Cam the playbook, and I didn't cover that. That doesn't sound right to me. But you know, Cam is, he made comments about why he was let go. So I'm just going to play the first comment.
The reason why they released me is because indirectly, I was going to be a distraction. Without being a starter.
Yeah.
And this was
but
not
how?
Gonna come,
verbally or in the locker room?
Just my aura.
Okay.
Just my aura. And that's just, and I told you this off camera, that's my gift and my curse.
I don't love Aaron Rodgers saying my status, Cam saying my aura. But you know what? That's who they are. So they just lay it out there. I also think there are certain quarterbacks in this league. Kirk Cousins, easy to make fun of. Goody two shoes, kind of nerdy. You know, father was a pastor. Easy to make fun of on Twitter. Ryan Fitzpatrick, crazy beard guy, Hawaiian shirt guy. And by the way, both those guys win and are very productive, but you can make fun of them. Cam's tougher to make fun of. He's got really loyal fans. He's got style. He's got swag. And even though he's never had back-to-back winning seasons, if you criticize Cam, believe me, I've lived through it for 10 years, you get a ton of pushback. I never got pushback when Andy Dalton was having back-to-back-to-back-to-back winning years going to the playoffs. And I would call him the beige water pistol. No pushback. He was going to the playoffs every year. No pushback. Cam, off a bad year, I criticize pushback. So I don't mind that, but a lot of broadcasters don't want the pushback. With Cam, you know, it's just, I think sometimes the media has coddled him because they just don't want the pushback. Cam also said this.
If they would have asked me, would I play behind, they said, Cam, we're going to give the team to Mac.
Okay.
You're going to be the second string. We expect you to be everything and some to guide him throughout this tenure.
Okay.
I would have said absolutely. The truth of the matter is this. He would have been uncomfortable. Like, Mac Jones didn't beat me out.
No.
But I would have been a distraction knowing that if they would have gave him the starting role, they knew, you know, the perception that they would have had.
Well, I do like him saying I would have been a backup. I think that's valuable. I think people, you know, people listen to what you say. I know executives that have watched Hard Knocks. Remember the Dez Bryant Hard Knocks? Or it was the Amazon show and Dez Bryant blew up at a coach. He never got the same treatment in the NFL. Like, nobody wanted Dez. It was like, as bad on TV. So I don't like the aura talk. I do like the, I would have played backup. But there is value in a divorce. I remember when I went through one reading about this. The value of being vulnerable is that in this divorce with Cam in New England, if Cam comes out and is vulnerable and says, I'm crushed. I love the game. It broke my heart. You want to help him. I think most people are good people. We want to help victims. And if he would have come out and been really, really vulnerable and just said, because I do think Cam likes football, and I do think he can play in this league. I wouldn't make him a franchise guy, but there's he can play. I mean, he was two plays with a bad team last year, Seattle, Buffalo, from having a winning record. And New England last year had no tight ends and no wide receivers. So he's got some football left. I don't love his lack of self-awareness, talking about aura, and it's just, but it's who he is. And I think pushing back on Cam, all you get's hate. But I think there are moments, it's a good psychology to know, being vulnerable, I know guys don't like to do it, we're all alpha, right? Like, no, being vulnerable is okay. I would have preferred to see Cam just go, it hurt. I'm Cam Newton. It was terrible. I hate this. I love football. But that's not who he is. I don't think there's a big market for Cam. We'll see how it plays out. By the way, three quarterbacks will be hurt in the next month. That I'll guarantee you. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this when I watched Gronk and Brady. Is that Brady is so great and the quarterback is so valuable that when Brady leaves New England, that is all we talk about. That is all we talk about. But it should be noted that the worst tight end group in the NFL last year was New England, and Gronk left. When I'm watching Gronk, who's the best blocking tight end in the NFL maybe ever, he has the best hands of any tight end ever. He may play dummy for the brand, but is anybody better at finding space in the zone than Gronk? He's always open. He knows the sidelines, situational football. He can be goofy and funny and a kid. But he's built a hell of a brand, so he knows something. But as I'm watching Gronk last night, I'm thinking, you know who could really use Gronk? New England. I mean, seriously, if you could give Mac Jones anything, it wouldn't be a star receiver. It would be Gronk. And that I don't think we've ever quite understood, because of his silliness and because of how great Belichick is and how great the New England defense is and how great Tom Brady is, Gronk is just his own he's his own separate category. These are pro athletes. Look how big he is among pro athletes. Look how well he runs. Look how big. He is the only tight end in the NFL where they will put him out wide to block a defensive end. No chip blocking. Just go block the really good guy. Travis Kelce's good. They don't ask him to do that. When you watch, I always said this about Mike Tyson. When you can make other boxers intimidated, you're a badass. Like Tyson scared other boxers, men who fight for a living. When you look at the size of Gronk with a 6'3 and a half, 230-pound linebacker, he's really his own category. Best hands ever, best blocker ever, best combination with a quarterback ever. And maybe it's the warm weather. Maybe it's the off season. Eric Mangini made a great point earlier that he knew he was going to play this year. Last year, he didn't. He looked in great shape. But I was watching that last night, and I'm thinking, I've been watching that for 15 years. Oh, how much time in the clock? Brady gives you that look when he falls behind with a minute and a half left. He gives you that kind of, all right, all right, okay. And he goes out. And there was not a doubt in my mind, nor yours, that with a minute 25 left, Brady was taken over, Gronk would have a huge effect, they would manipulate the clock. They had so much time left. They had so much time left. It was so effortless that Brady threw three straight incompletions to eat clock.
We've probably been watching Tom Brady for so long that if we played a game where we just put different Tom Brady facial expressions, we could match them to what part of the game it is and what's happening. Like that like pursed lip look that he makes when they're losing. Like,
yeah, how about this one? It's the looks, and it's kind of like that.
Yep. So when he starts doing that, then
you're challenging him.
Yes.
Oh.
It's a turnover, you know what the look is.
He's mad. But when it's the, you just scored, I got a minute 24 left. It's like, it's really a Tom Brady sort of like, all right, okay. And literally he is offended that you think with a minute 24 left, you can beat him. They had so much time. He threw three balls way out of bounds to waste time.
And how he's so good that, like, I didn't even really need to see how much time was left. But I was like, it's enough time. However much time is left, if you're giving it back to Tom, it's enough time.
By the way, Aikman Irvin flashier, Manning Harrison flashier, Brady Moss flashier, Montana Rice flashier. But you can roll coverage. You can put a, you know, the Cowboys put their best corner on Mike Evans. How do you defend Gronk? I mean, who does Mahomes trust in the biggest spots? Kelce. You talk about Brady leaving New England. Mac Jones could use anything. It's Gronk. I mean, he is in a different galaxy. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card end of your first year. Automatically, no limit. Get used to hearing yes. Discover.com/yes.